Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. According to what I've just been told, here's the podcast for the Early Morning Late Show. Enjoy our conversations. Oh, got to remember how to do stuff. Let's see, microphone on, adjust this level, tweak that button, hit this button when you have to clear your voice. Okay, I think I got it. Oh, welcome to the show. Bill Arnold here. I am back, and the marching band outside was nice but not necessary. Thank you. And I want to thank Neil and Dick for filling in while I was at my second villa in Tuscany. That's a testimony to how the clock ticks around here at Faith Radio. I say that with the fall share coming up next week. Now, here we have a week to fill with me out. So the program director, who's worked here 41 years and has his own show at noon, Neil Stavem, he gets up and does two mornings. And then the station's general manager, Dick Whitworth, gets up and does three mornings. All right? The operation around here runs lean. So when you support Faith Radio, you can be sure we're using your support to stay on the air and spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Which is really, by the way, how I spent the majority of the free time in my brain thinking about the centrality of Christ and the love of God. That's what I thought about all week. And I had a lot of things that came to my mind and a lot of things I have to process. And I've got to get some people on the air that we can talk this over with because I'm back now. So I want to thank you. And I just say that I don't know a lot of what's going on because I kind of tuned out the week I was gone. And just so you know, that I compare that to the other times when I am here faking like I know what's going on. So there is going to be a difference. Definitely going to be a difference. So, and we've got a great show this morning. Patrick Albanese, he's one of the first guys I met that successfully argued that you could have a cranny without a nook. He's a fascinating guy. We're going to bring him on in just a minute. And then Tommy Binion's going to be on from the Daily Signal, and he is going to be pinch hitting for Rob Bluey, my Washington, D.C. correspondent. And I don't know who he is, but I just wanted to say the name Tommy Binion. So I what a great name. So Tommy Binion is going to be on the show coming up after Patrick. So that's what our first hour looks like on the show. So thanks for being with us. It's 6 minutes after the hour. Could not be any happier to be back. Be back in a minute with Patrick Albanese. I gotta give myself off the side of the road.
I gotta give myself up off the side of the road. What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Do? Why, if I had a brain, I could
while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain.
My head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain.
Good morning. It's 8 minutes after the hour, and that, of course, is the theme music for my friend and colleague Patrick Albanese from prestigious West Des Moines. And prestigious, you give always provocative analysis. You will go ahead.
Yeah. I thought I would clear up a couple of things for people that might have been listening, saying villa in Tuscany.
Yeah, my second one.
Well, yeah. Now, of course, you mean Tuscany, Ohio.
Of course I do.
And when you say villa, you mean one of the original Motel 6s that still charges $6 a night. Wasn't easy to find.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I can always trust that you'll expose me. So thank you very much. Yeah.
I appreciate the use of colorful euphemisms. For a rather inexpensive getaway.
But, yes.
Sound relaxed.
I always tell listeners that Patrick Albanese will either raise your hackles or calm your cockles.
Yes. And you are correct about the nooks and crannies, which, of course, the only purpose of any item with a nook or cranny is to capture butter.
That's exactly right.
Why do they talk about nooks and crannies? We all know that's dog whistle for we're going to be able to put a lot of butter in this thing and it's going to hold it. It won't drip out. So
I got to say, you provoked me into taking a vacation, and I left kind of suddenly. And then when I get back to the studio this morning, for some reason, IT must have done upgrades or something because my key card didn't work, so I couldn't get in. So I had to wait for Paul here, and I had to wait for Paul and Rebecca to let me in. So I'm assuming I still got the job, but we have a meeting after the show, so we'll find out.
Yeah, and as I understand it, they really beefed up security. I mean, how many? But you actually had to go through a police. Was it? You call it a police escort.
I called it a marching band. I guess it was a police escort.
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
So,
yeah,
but
32 policemen there without instruments, but it's a marching band.
Right. I did seem to kind of avoid the week that Hurricane Harvey hit, and I tell you, that was a horrible, horrible scene. And I'm going to talk a little bit later next hour to Dr. David Stevens because it is interesting. Imagine the contaminated water that's going to pose risks, both immediate and potential long term. Imagine, Patrick, the stuff alone you have on the floor of your garage.
The floor of the kitchen right now, actually. Yes, lots of stuff.
Of poisonous materials and stuff, and all of a sudden you get 50 inches of water, and all that stuff is now out. It's gone. It's out there.
Yes. And, it's amazing. I know the media seems to be just chomping at the bit to, they want to not only do they want to label Texas as, backwards, redneck, country, and they're secessionists. And I think they're a little bit troubled by how well Texas is rolling with this unreal disaster. And they seem to have so many things covered, and they're so ready for everything, and they're pitching in, and they're working together, and there is no divisiveness. I've seen you get some of the celebrities that seem to be happy that, well, there you go, that's what you get, Texas, as if there's some sort of a magical instant karma for voting for Trump. And I says, they don't think about that stuff here. And so, yeah, right, they're going to have this next disaster happen. But I have had a really renewed faith in the goodness in people. I go, wow, it can happen. And it disturbs me that it takes a disaster for that to happen.
I am with you. It actually has motivated me to look for opportunities to just lend a hand to people and to give them help. And I've been very inspired by what's going on in Texas. And I think you're right. It's run so well that the media has really gotten down to pointing fingers at Stiletto Gate, which is Melania getting onto the plane to go to Texas in stilettos, and that's what they're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, a half a dozen articles are written in major publications, Washington Post, New York Times, fashion editors, and other real people saying this is an insult to the people of Texas. How dare she wear those heels? And, of course, 3 hours later they land. She walks out with tennis shoes, and they say, okay, all right. Woo, look at that. She's wearing a FLOTUS hat.
Mm-hmm.
First Lady of the United States. How dare you wear that?
Isn't that what she is?
She is, but they got upset because they said, you know what? They sell that hat on their website, and Trump is wearing a USA hat, and he sells that hat. They're marketing. How dare them take advantage of the office of the president of the United States to try and sell merchandise? It's like, he had on a hat. He didn't say, by the way, if you'd like to get one of these hats, it's $40. But I say the fact that they're scrambling for these outrages, it pushes your outrage capacity to its limit. I don't have anything in me for this. I tune it all out. And I think most people do. And if you are upset by that stuff, then you might want to, see a preacher. Maybe sit down and have a nice talk and say, I have anger issues because this is too much. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Pitch in and help or sit quietly on the sidelines, but we don't have to analyze and antagonize every single move. It's like he ate that cake with his left hand. That's a dog whistle.
Isn't the job of presidency anyway just a job that you get on the way to get a really good job?
Yeah. Yeah, it's for instance, I was a professional actor until my bartending career took off.
Right.
And, that just never happened. So I had to stay as an actor. I think presidents.
But you get the
Trump
job.
Had a job.
Get the job of presidency, and I think it would pay $400,000 a year. And then after that job, you start getting speaking engagements. And like President Clinton has made $150 million speaking since he left the office.
Yeah, but of course the fee for having a Clinton speak since November has gone down precipitously.
Yes, it has.
Not getting $300,000 or $400,000 for a speech anymore. Hillary Clinton is now charging something like $2,500 to have your picture taken with her on her her tour of her new book.
Her book, yeah. Yeah.
You know, what happened? And
yeah.
Which, you know, should be followed up by a sequel called Who Cares?
Right.
You know, or You Lost. If we're going to go with these two word titles, you just put a picture of Donald Trump up and say, I happened. That's
right.
What happened.
So let me ask you this, getting back to Texas, because I kind of ignored this for a big part of my week, and now I'm back to work. So I want to ask, when it comes to contributions, does everywhere you go ask if you want to make a contribution to the problem in Texas?
Yes.
Okay.
It seems to be.
What's your thought on that? Is that do you feel like it's going to get to the right place, and what's the best way to do that?
That's where I always get nervous. You know, you say, oh, the Red Cross, the fact that they're running TV commercials that say, by the way, 91% of whatever you give to us goes to the place. You say, well, I don't know if you put that in there because do you have some bad public relations, or are people are that skeptical? You know that they're skeptical when they donate. So I do get skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I do, but there are scammers out there, and that's unfortunate. Everybody wants – the guy on the corner is no longer asking for money for himself. It's for Hurricane Harvey.
Right.
So,
well, yeah, I was at Costco the other day, and there was – of course, they ask you when you're checking out if you want to contribute, and I said, sure, not knowing where it was going, or I just felt like, yeah, I'll do that. I have no idea how they're collecting it, where it's going. So anyway, I was just kind of confused about that.
They didn't even say it was Hurricane Harvey. They just said, do you want to contribute? And you're like, well, to something, sure.
That's true.
I know. I was at the big box store the other day, which, by the way, I'm in the big box store, and they got their Halloween decorations up. And I said to the manager, I go, you guys are a little behind everybody else. He said, oh, no. Those are for 2018.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool that they were that far ahead. But, yeah, they had the thing, and there's a guilt thing, too. It's like – okay, there's your total is this, and would you like to contribute some money to save some lives, or are you just going to go home to your comfy little abode and continue your home improvement project and not help?
With like, your 64-ounce bag of potato chips.
Exactly.
All right, Patrick, let me take a break. We'll come back more with Patrick Albanese at 17 minutes after the hour. Thanks for being with us. Be back in a minute.
When I wake up in sunlight hurts my eyes.
Good morning. It's 19 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold back in studio. I have on the studio line Patrick Albanese from prestigious West Des Moines. Patrick, we have so much to talk about because we have not chatted in a week. We've got, let's see, the debt ceiling is going to be raised again. It seems like Democrats are always looking for their Christian faith when they're running for office.
Yeah, so when you see the fawning articles come out, now one came out about Elizabeth Warren in the Boston Globe just talking about, oh, her Christian faith. This is the first, by the way, I've ever heard of her Christian faith.
Yes.
I thought she was a medicine woman or something like that. I can't remember. Wait, was she? Oh, no, she's only 1/1000% Cherokee or
something like
of
that. Yeah.
Yeah, suddenly they're saying, oh, no, it informs her every decision. Now, I'd like to go back, not that far in the Wayback Machine, to say the year 2000 and George Bush. He wore his faith on his sleeve, and
yes,
I don't remember a whole lot of articles about, look at his strength of Christian faith. I saw the opposite. It's like, whoa, gee, boo, boo, this guy consults with Jesus.
They maligned him.
Yeah, they.
Word of the day. Write that down, Rebecca. Maligned.
Maligned. Yes. They destroyed him. And then, of course, you know, I mean, not too long ago, Hillary was saying she was thinking about maybe, you know, cashing it all in and becoming a preacher. That made a lot of people chuckle. So she dropped it pretty quickly. But we have those pictures of Bill Clinton with his Bible. Then faith was good. George Bush, faith is bad. Barack Obama, faith is good. Even though the church he went to was kind of an anti-American, we don't like, you know, people of pale skin type of church. And then it comes to, you know, this current election, and they tried to push the faith thing with Hillary. It's not working. Now they're going with Elizabeth Warren. And it's fascinating because just last week they were, I'm going to use the word malign again, Joel Osteen, was getting maligned because they say he's no real Christian. Why he didn't let people into his Christian church? And he's just a nasty, deplorable Christian. And Christianity is all bad. They painted with – this was 1 week ago. They were painting with the broad brush saying, see how bad Christianity is? Now, this week, Elizabeth Warren, obviously, they're trying to push that she's a praying Christian woman, which means she's running in 2020. Suddenly they're going, isn't Christianity great? Look at Elizabeth uses it. I give up with these people. Evidently, this stuff works. And this is probably why we have Donald Trump running the country.
Mm. So Congress is back to work, or so they say. Do they work?
They don't
work. They don't produce. What is that? What am I trying to say? What happens there?
They fundraise, and unfortunately,
they fundraise. That's exactly right. They tax, they spend, and they regulate. They don't produce anything.
And then they set up their own little perpetual reelection campaigns because they need anger to get people to vote for them. And when Trump got elected, he took away some of their issues where for 8 years they were raising money on repealing Obamacare. And now it's like, well, here it is. We're not going to do that. And then we're going to rein in the debt and we're going to do, you know, tax reform. Yeah, we're not going to do that. And now this deferred this DACA program that they were screaming since 2012 that Obama did it was unconstitutional. It must be ripped out. And mm-hmm. Trump says, I'll do it. And they're going, well, yeah, you know, we should not do that. It's like, are you guys there for anything? Can you do anything except raise the debt ceiling?
And then I think of the minimum wage where you think of politicians and they're the ones that want to have the minimum raise increased, but small business owners go, no, it's going to kill us.
It's going to kill us.
But they're looking for a vote, and people that are in politics seem to only understand that if I hold a rally and tell everyone they can get $15 an hour minimum wage, they get excited and they'll vote for me. But they don't necessarily understand how the actual business itself works.
No, and look at the beauty of this. You know, in the old days, in the good old days, politicians used to buy votes with their own money. But now they're buying it with other people's money.
Mm-hmm.
By basically taxing your employer, this is a tax on the employer, raising his cost of doing business. They're trying to win votes, and it doesn't cost the politician a penny. It costs all the businesses pennies.
Right.
It costs all the businesses millions of dollars, and they're saying, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go beat up somebody for you. Vote for me, and I will take from somebody else, and I will give it to you because I don't want to spend my own money.
And Patrick, every place they have done the minimum wage increase, unemployment has skyrocketed. Go figure.
Yeah. You know, and then they always, of course, have the answer. When they do it in like a proper city area, they say, well, I don't understand what happened. All these restaurants closed. But the ones on the outskirts, they're doing really well. It's like, well, they're on the outskirts. They're not subject to the new minimum wage law. They did not go out of business. Well, gee, instead of learning the lesson that maybe the minimum wage is what caused the other restaurants to close, they say if we raise it everywhere, nobody will be able to run and hide.
Mm.
It's genius.
Yeah. Plus, aren't we all going to
make it $50 an hour?
Yeah.
Make it 50.
Aren't we soon going to all be guaranteed an income because if we don't do that, robots are going to take over?
Yes. And it's funny how you got these billionaires that are proposing that. Except they shelter their income, so I don't know. I'm thinking they're thinking, well, we're not going to pay for it ourselves. But yeah, I think Zuckerberg is in favor of this universal basic income, the UBI. And what a great incentive to get out of bed in the morning and go to work. You could choose to do a tough job, you know, that some days maybe won't be the most enjoyable thing to do. Or you could stay home and collect income. And, you know, pursue your macrame hobby.
Yeah, that's why national parks forbid you from feeding the animals, because it's been proven that if you give them free food, they'll lose their desire to go out and find it themselves. And why would humans be different?
Oh, because we're so evolved. Because when you are controlling other people and moving the pieces on the chessboard, they will always act exactly as you predict.
Yeah.
They'll never do anything surprising.
Yeah. And now now that I'm back to work, I have to start thinking about and hearing about all that's going on in North Korea. And I have to say, if you turn the sound down and just look at pictures, Every picture I see of Kim Jong-un, I got to tell you, for whatever it's worth, he's always smiling and laughing. He seems like a pretty happy guy.
Yeah, well, he's probably excited because it seems that his clothing style has caught on. I mean, at least I think Hillary Clinton was copying his clothing style. The two of them are interchangeable. Yeah, it's now they're testing bombs, and they're it's kind of like, you know, the Sound of Music had that main song, you know, how do you solve a problem like Maria? And this is more like a how do you solve a problem like Korea? This guy does seem to be the happy lunatic.
Oh, you have me laughing, but I'm trying not to laugh out loud on the air anymore. That's one of my New Year's resolutions. So anyway, Patrick, I'm going to take a break. We got to get going, but I will catch up with you again soon.
I will be around.
Thanks a lot. It is 27 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break, and let's see when we come back. What do we do at this time usually? Been gone a week.
Well, we've got some news.
Oh, yeah, we got news coming up. And then we also have Lighten Up with Ken Davis.
We do.
All right.
And then Tommy Binion.
Can't wait, Tommy Binion.
I got to say it this time.
Oh, well, I'm going to say it a lot more than you. Tommy Binion's next. Coming up next, Tommy Binion. One minutes after the hour, Bill Arnold here. I am just delighted to be back. We're going to take a break for news. My only ask is that's nothing but good news. Do not ruin my vacation mode I'm still in. We'll be back more with Tommy Binion, which I'm excited to talk to him just for no other reason to say his name. Tommy Binion. I once had a Binion on my toe. But that's a... we'll get that all straightened out. Be back in a minute.
Good day, sunshine.
Good morning. It is Tuesday. Not to be confused with Monday, even though it feels like Monday, but yesterday was the Labor Day. And today is back to work. It's actually time to do the laboring. So welcome. Bill Arnold here. If you are trying to forgive someone, you know that's difficult. But forgiving someone is a very, very powerful restoration. And not forgiving someone is just as powerful, but in a harmful way. Dr. Bruce Wilkinson shares this analogy.
I often explain unforgiveness by talking about getting a wound. And I explained to somebody yesterday, it's like if you want to picnic with another family who the husband was a physician. And if I fell and cut my arm pretty bad, and he saw it and got his little bag out of his car and came and got all the dirt out of it and put some Band-Aid on it, it would heal itself. But if right before I fell down, he got a telephone call from the hospital and had to go right back to the hospital and I fell and got that bad cut and he wasn't around and my wife cleaned it out as best she could and bit into bandages on it. But if there was some dirt left in the bottom of that wound, it could not and would not heal. And in time, it would become infected and then there'd be a little red line down my arm. Then I'd start to get a fever, and if I didn't deal with it, it would affect everything about me. Well, that's exactly what happens when we get wounded, not on our arm, but on our heart.
If you want to hear that full interview, head over to myfaithradio.com, and that author is Dr. Bruce Wilkinson, and you can type in tormented by unforgiveness if that is an issue you're struggling with. That might be a good interview to go hear in its entirety. And Dr. Bruce Wilkinson, once again, is the name of that author. And Tormented by Unforgiveness will get you to that interview. We will take a short break, and when we come back, I look like we got Tommy Binion on the line. I cannot wait to speak to him. Be back in a minute. In a discussion about biblical issues, the real issue may be something quite different. This is Jim Garlow. When you have a discussion with someone about biblical issues, some will dismiss you because the real issue is not really an intellectual one. It has to do with their personal moral behavior. That is often the key issue, and people hide behind some kind of an intellectual front when the real issue is their personal lifestyle. But remember, the Word of God is self-evident. It doesn't need us to just defend it. We must proclaim it.
Appeal to God's Word because God writes His law on their heart, on their conscience. Remember that God's Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. If it's not true that the Bible is the Word of God and the standard of faith and life, then we're left with arbitrary whims and opinions, our own imagination, or just some group of persons. Know what God's Word says and what it means, then be bold in proclaiming it. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
All I want to do is praise your name, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. You are my God, and all I want to do is praise your name. I praise your name with lifted our voices and proclaim.
Good morning, it's 20 minutes until the top of the hour. Rob Bluey is oftentimes my Washington, D.C. correspondent who joins us from the Daily Signal, but he's out today, and he recommended us a colleague, Tommy Binion, and he said Tommy will come on and do a fantastic job. Tommy, good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
I want to hear all about Tommy Binion. Okay, tell me about your family. What other Binions are there in the family? Because if there's not a Billy Binion, I'm thinking about changing my name.
Well, I have a wife, Sarah, and a son, Hayes.
All right.
He's 17 months old, but maybe the next son will be Billy.
Well, that's
maybe I'll just hang on to that name for myself.
That's the kind of, that name would roll right off Al Michaels' tongue. if you're a football player. Of course, we start the NFL season on Thursday night, so that'll be good. Are you a football fan?
I am. I'm a big college football fan. I like the NFL, too, but I'm a Falcons fan, and after the Super Bowl,
That was a
I'm
tough
more
one.
I'm excited about college football.
Yeah. What team do you follow in college?
I went to Wake Forest.
Okay, awesome.
In North Carolina, and I think we're going to be pretty good this year.
I like it. I like your confidence. So I've been on vacation for a week, so I have to get back and get my mind into the game here. So I tried to avoid the what was going on in North Korea, but now it's really back front and center because they tested a hydrogen bomb over the weekend. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. This test, I don't think, was entirely unexpected. We couldn't have picked the date, but another nuclear test was something I think we expected. Now, this is a larger scale. This definitely indicates that they are a stronger nuclear power than we had thought earlier. I just want everybody to keep in mind, too, there are two different types of tests. One is a missile test, and one is a nuclear test. This one over the holiday weekend, was a nuclear test. There are some indications this morning that they may be planning another missile test, another intercontinental ballistic missile test. So all of this indicates, their program is moving at a breakneck pace towards being able to deliver a high-powered nuclear weapon in a very wide radius that includes the United States and our territories. Our only response to this so far can be to put the screws to them in every way that we can. Economically, we haven't done everything that we can do economically to pressure them not to do this. We've only sanctioned one Chinese bank for doing business with North Korea. We need to up the ante and continue those economic sanctions.
Now, Tommy, when I was thinking about this hydrogen bomb that they have, and I've heard that it's approximately six times the power of Hiroshima. Did you hear something like that?
I did hear that, yeah.
And so they ain't messing around, are they?
No, this is a powerful bomb, but I think all of us understand from history in middle and high school the power of a nuclear weapon, and for most of us that strikes fear in our hearts. This is a serious weapon, and add on top of that the idea that the dictatorship in North Korea isn't rational like the rest of our Western powers. I think they have rational behaviors, and we can try to predict them and manipulate them, but add to the fact that they're unpredictable, that makes this a very scary news story. I think we have the power to overwhelm them. If a North Korean attack against us were imminent, we would do a preemptive strike, but it's not imminent. And I think that would be the only time a preemptive strike would be appropriate, is when that attack becomes imminent.
Tommy, when we use words like overwhelming response, do you know what that means? Because I don't know if I do. I mean, if you've got a spider in the bathroom, do you take in a sawed-off shotgun to kill it? What do you do?
I don't think this is a sawed-off shotgun to a spider. No, I think it's I think for good reason, this administration doesn't say what they mean when they say that. I think that there is good reason to do that. But you can imagine all of the ways that our military is able to overwhelm any of the powers throughout the world.
Sure.
I don't necessarily think they're talking about using nuclear weapons, but certainly they have the ability to take out any mobilization that the North Korean military may be doing. They have the ability to take out all of their military installations. They have the ability to truly overwhelm them.
Mm-hmm. Now, as we are giving them lots of attention, I think we also have to pay attention to Iran, which is quite the threat as well. We've got just about a minute before the break, so let's dip our toe into that end of the pool.
Well, Iran should be, we should be thinking about what happened in the North Korean case when we think of Iran. We tried a similar tack with North Korea in the late 90s, President Clinton did, that the Iran nuclear deal, tries to take. Here we are, North Korea is a nuclear power, and it's scaring us all. We should think about that as we think about in October, the president, whether or not he's going to recertify the Iran deal. He ran on getting out of it, and he needs to find a strategic way to do that, but certainly this is what makes the Iran deal bad, because it ends in them becoming a nuclear power, just like North Korea is, and another layer of this terrible news story. This is what this leads to. We tried the exact same thing with North Korea, and we know what happened. This is why the Iran nuclear deal is terrible, and we have to get out of it.
Tommy, what is North Korea's endgame? What do they want?
They want to be a nuclear power.
Okay.
I think that
just give it to me straight, Tommy. Just give it to me straight.
They want to be a nuclear power. They want to have control over the globe because they're a nuclear power.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a little break when we come back. More with Tommy Binion from the Daily Signal. It is, it's 1:45. We'll be back in a minute. Twelve minutes until the top of the hour. I have Tommy Binion on the studio line from the Daily Signal. And Tommy, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Texas, which is, one horrifying scene after another. And as people are starting to clean up, the government is going to pitch in how much to help this cleanup relief? Do you know?
No, I don't think anybody knows. The tack that the administration and Republican leaders on Capitol Hill are taking is to do this in tranches, in segments.
Mm-hmm.
So the first request is between $6 and $8 billion, and the idea would be to get that done as soon as possible. Other disasters have been way more expensive than that, $40, $50, $60 billion.
Right.
So I expect Houston to come in in that price range. But this administration, the tenor of the debate so far has been way better than it was about Sandy and way better than it was about Katrina. We had some really negative politics associated with Sandy because they puffed that bill up with so much spending for that region that had nothing to do with the disaster. It was full of pork. And it caused people who wanted to do legitimate federal disaster spending not to be able to vote for it. That flared up a little bit at the beginning of Houston. You saw Congressman King from New York talk about, hey, I'm not going to hold this over Ted Cruz's head. But this has been an entirely different process. I think this president and these leaders in Congress really want to get the spending that Houston needs, and that's it. And that would be that would be a real relief and a real change of pace for those of us that watch the Congress and watch the way they load these bills up with pork.
Yeah. Are the congressional leaders getting along more or less on this subject?
So far, so good. You know, that there is this underlining current where, you know, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin said publicly he wanted Congress to attach this to the debt ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that would add some negative politics into this. You can definitely pass Houston disaster spending all by itself. To attach it to the debt ceiling would be a very swampy, very Washington, D.C. thing to do, because you're bringing along people who otherwise wouldn't vote for the debt ceiling because they want to see spending reforms.
Right.
You're bringing them along with the debt ceiling. So it's, you know, it's sugar to make the medicine go down, but it's, this is what the people sent this administration here not to do. So I'm sure hoping that doesn't happen.
Yeah, Tommy, what about President Trump's threats, too, about forcing a government shutdown if Congress does not also include his, what is it, about $1.5 or $6 billion request for the wall on the U.S.-Mexican border?
Right. And I just want to be clear about how the legislative process works. He absolutely can do that. If Congress sends him a bill without funding, he can veto it. It's not my expectation that they have a supermajority, two-thirds, to override his veto. So if they send him something without wall funding, he has every right to veto it, and the government would shut down. A government shutdown is not that big a deal. It happens from time to time, and it means that a handful, you know, something like 20 or 30% of federal employees who are deemed non-essential don't work for a week. They still get paid every time. But he could do that. And the leaders in Congress have to be clear-minded about this. The House has passed that funding for the wall that he has requested. They need 8 Senate Democrats to vote for it in the Senate. There are not 8 Senate Democrats who have said they'd be willing to vote for wall funding, but I think that's sort of why the president injected this idea of a shutdown into the debate, is because now the question for those 8 Democrats is, are you going to give, you know, are you going to fund border security or hold it up for political reasons and enter into a staring don't blink contest with the president?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not positive that's how this will go. The president could definitely back off of his statement, and Senate Democrats could definitely look the other way on the border security wall funding and let that go through. Both of those, I think, are much more likely at this point than a government shutdown.
It's very interesting timing on all of this, isn't it?
This September is this is more activity in 1 month than I can remember. The debt ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
The spending bill, layer on top of that, the Harvey spending, there's
mm-hmm.
4 or 5 other big federal programs that have to be reauthorized this month. And then now the president's going to announce today that he's ending the DACA program and setting up a timeline for Congress to act on immigration. That is a topic that sets this city on fire. So, you know, we're going to have more topics, more things to cover in September than we ever have before.
It puts the Republicans on the hot seat, doesn't it? Especially if they're up for re-election.
It sure does. I think this month is going to have a lot to say about what happens in 2018. It's interesting, in Congress, they first worry about their primaries. So right now, you know, all of these members of Congress are worried that somebody might file to run in a primary against them. That causes them to act either more conservative if they're Republicans or more liberal if they're Democrats. And then if they win their primary, now we're in, you know, next summer, that's when they worry about appealing to independents and folks from the other party. So this primary time, you know, that they don't want to take tough votes that make them look less conservative. So that colors what happens in September. Also, in this whole conversation, we haven't even mentioned Obamacare repeal or tax reform.
I was about to say we're seeming to forget that.
Well, that's because they have so much else to do. You know, they've
okay.
spent this whole year talking about Obamacare. They just don't have time for it this month,
mm-hmm.
and they seem to be focused on tax reform. But broken promises hurt the worst in the ballot box. It's one thing, you know, not to achieve everything you set out to achieve. It's another thing to say, we are going to do these two things, black and white, very clear, for 7 years, and then fail to do them. And so I think there's a real fear about Obamacare repeal and tax reform out there. So rest assured, when they wrap up this list of things that they've got to do in September, they're going to go right back to those two topics because they truly think that they need to get them done to get reelected.
It is going to be an interesting month, and I, Tommy, would love to have you back on the show. Rob Bluey owes you an 8-ounce filet for coming on and doing the show for him, but I would like to have you on in addition to Rob because I love what you're saying, and you're a great guest, so thank you so much for coming on.
I'm happy to do it anytime. Have a great show.
All right, thanks, Tommy. It's 4 minutes till the top of the hour. We'll take a short break, and then lots more coming up in hour two. Be back in a minute.
If you're picking up drive-through coffee this morning on your way to work, tell them Bill says hi, and make mine a double. The Early Morning Late Show on Faith Radio.
Good morning. It's a couple minutes until the top of the hour, and it is back to work day. It is the day after Labor Day. I hope you had a nice, relaxing weekend. I know I did. It is September 5th. Can you believe it? All right, we got a great second hour coming up on the show. We have Dr. David Stevens from the Christian Medical and Dental Association coming up. And we are going to have a discussion about all the aftermath of a big, big rainstorm like Harvey and what it did to the water and some of the contaminants that have gotten in it. And then I think a big problem coming up next is mosquitoes. And we know how much we don't like mosquitoes. And when they are going to have a chance to hatch and go crazy, it is going to be a problem as well. So we're going to get an update from Dr. David Stevens. That's coming up. And then Dr. Richard Land's going to be with us. So it's going to be a great second hour. It's nice to be back. I missed you. Be back in a minute. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.